Of course, any discussion or talk about a resurrection has a beginning point, a death, right? As we were reading in the Gospel of John today, there is a whole accounting of what took place that brought forth this resurrection, and that is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to remind you of the significance of Jesus Christ's death, in that through his death, he met God's righteous decree, God's righteous demand, his justice, his perfect justice, was that sin be paid for through death. And so therefore, through his great love, he came. Even while we were yet sinners, he died for us, showing us his great love, that we might, through his blood, have forgiveness of sin. But as has already been stated today, if there were no resurrection, if the Lord died on the cross, and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he said, "It is finished." But yet he still remained in the grave. Then, what are we doing? What game are we playing? Who are we trying to fool, gathering together in the name of Jesus who's still in the grave? You just think about how ridiculous that sounds, and you realize the significance of the resurrection. You realize that the resurrection is something that the world just cannot comprehend. Because, let's face it, resurrection is not something that happens every day. In fact, Jesus Christ is the one who has risen, never to die again. And so, the first fruits of the resurrection, Jesus. Our world is peering in as we celebrate this day, and many of them are wondering, what is this all about? And perhaps you're here today, and you're wondering, what's this all about? You know, one thing that I found interesting as I was just perusing the news sites today, this morning, I was curious about this. What's the secular media? What's their take on this day? What's their perspective on it? And do you realize they are largely silent? At least from what I could see. Either because they want to avoid it or they don't know what to say about it. The only news story I found was associated with Roman Catholicism. The Pope. You know what? Our world is lost. You know, we're blessed that we still have it on our calendars this day. But yet we know better that it doesn't even have to be on the calendar. In fact, every Lord's Day is the celebration of the resurrection, isn't it? I invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter. I'd like us to just contemplate and think about the significance of the resurrection as we consider our future. As we read in the Gospel of John, the ladies went to the tomb, and what an honor it was for them to have the Lord Jesus appear to them right away. Now, we know that their testimony was not necessarily believed by the disciples. Luke tells us that the disciples thought it was just idle tales. But nevertheless, scriptures tell us clearly that Jesus appeared to these women at the tomb. Why were they coming to the tomb? They were carrying spices and other things to wrap up Jesus' body and to further preserve it in the tomb. We look at this today and we might say, well, where was their faith? Indeed, as I was perusing and thinking about perusing through the scriptures on this subject of the resurrection, I found it remarkable how many times the Lord Jesus spoke of his coming suffering, death, and then he said, and rising again the third day. But yet, like so many of us, we get caught up in the physical realm and the things that we control. And when we get to the places and the things that are beyond us, we either forget them, ignore them, or don't even get that far at all. There was a grief that overwhelmed Jesus' followers. They knew he had died. They knew he had been placed in this tomb. But a resurrection, that wasn't on their minds. Peter writes two epistles to the church. Peter, one of the 12, one of the ones that Jesus chose to be a leader in the early church and to help establish the church. He writes this in chapter 1, 1 Peter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now, I want to just stop at this point and recognize something, that Peter understood the life-changing work of the gospel. You'll notice in this verse that he is speaking to people who are elect, chosen of God. You see, God the Father here very much, because he knows all things, understands who are his. You know, we don't have that heavenly perspective. We have a human perspective, and so we can look around and we can see all kinds of different people, and our heart reaches out to them that they might know the Lord. But as we come to know the Lord, we realize that this was not just some happenstance, but that this was according to the divine choosing of God. Of God the Father. And this, of course, is made possible through the work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. And in this work of Jesus Christ, there is a sanctification of the Spirit. A setting apart. A process of change within us that takes us who still have this old nature and is changing us to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Spirit accomplishes this in our lives every day as we walk with Him. This is accomplished, of course, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, the blood of Jesus Christ is just a clear reference to the cross, isn't it? That is where human history zeroes in. It's the center of history. As Jesus Christ went to the cross, and it was there that his blood was shed. And so God makes a big deal in the scripture about the blood of Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that just didn't start in the Gospels. That started all the way back in the beginning, where he established a sacrificial system whereby people's sins may be atoned by the blood of a sacrifice. You know, some may think Christianity is a bloody religion. You know what, dear ones? It's a relationship with Almighty God based on the blood of the perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ. We don't make light of his blood, nor does the Bible. The Bible honors it, speaks of its power for forgiveness of sin. You see, God meets us right where we are, understanding that we are sinners in need of a Savior. Do you realize that today? Have you come to grips with this fact that you are a sinner? You have offended a holy God. Because you've offended a holy God, this means that you cannot have a relationship with this holy God. And the Bible tells us we can't do anything to help ourselves because we're dead in our sins. But as Ephesians chapter 2 tells us, but God, who is rich in mercy through His great love, He has saved us. And so we see the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ and the sprinkling of His blood that has accomplished for us forgiveness of our sin. It is with this that Peter greets his audience and he says, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. When we are greeting one another in this form, grace be unto you and peace be multiplied, these words can be stated, but how do they sit on your heart? Have you understood grace? Do you know true peace? Why is it that the early church greeted one another in this way? Grace unto you and peace. Wow, what a provoking greeting. Do I understand grace? Do I know true peace? Why do I ask these questions? It's because God today doesn't want us to just hear His word. He wants us to interact with it and be changed by it. And asking ourselves questions helps that process. Do you know God's grace? Do you know true peace in your heart and in your life? I adventure to say you know pretty quickly in your heart whether that answer is yes or no. So Peter highlights the work of the gospel. And now look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively, as the King James puts it, lively hope, a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now you might say, Pastor, I see why you went here. I see the resurrection in that passage. Living hope. The kids sang about that today. Living hope. Peter puts this in the form of a blessing. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Peter is excited about this. Peter is in a way worshiping God as this is being written and in the presence of all who read it and in the presence of us here today. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can we say this with Peter? On Friday night at our Good Friday service, we talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we talked about how the cross to many, to those who are perishing, is foolishness. And I would venture to say that if the cross of Jesus Christ is foolishness, then you would have no business or no reason to say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope. But that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 also says, but those who are saved, the cross, the preaching of the cross is the power of God. And so we can say, if we are saved and believe, that the preaching of the cross is the power of God, we can say with Peter, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because according to his abundant mercy, he's begotten us again. This speaks of the work of the Spirit of God to regenerate, to bring us to this place where we are made new, born again, would be way to put it, born from above. Salvation is a work of God. It's not a work of man. False religions and cults today, this is the way that they would promote salvation. And I want to tell you that they are crafty and they can easily deceive. They will use the right words. They will even call themselves Christians. And yet, when it comes down to it, salvation is not just a work of God, but it's a work of man. I want to help you remember this. I want to remind you that if salvation is not completely the work of God, then what you're saying is it relies on you. No matter how you cut it. No matter if you just got to do a little tiny thing, it still relies on you. And I'm going to ask you a question. How do you feel about that? Are you ready to meet the Almighty Creator God? If your salvation relies on you. You know, the scriptures are clear. The salvation is a work of God. It's according to his abundant mercy. He's begotten us again. And now what has he begotten us again unto? In other words, he has made us alive, but there's a reason, there's a purpose, there's an intention behind this. There's somewhere where we're going. There's a future. And this is why it's important for us to keep in mind the resurrection, not just as a past event, but something that is relevant to our future. A living hope. You see, hope has something to do about the future. You see, God in his word is very clearly about the future. You think about how he, even throughout the Old Testament, he's constantly pushing his people to think about what is to come, about the future. He's making promises and covenants that are going to be fulfilled and kept in the future. Some of them have already been fulfilled, and yet some have not. And so the future is ahead. But like so many in our world today, the future is ahead, but there's so much that is uncertain. And so therefore, hope is elusive. What is hope anyway? Hope is intricately connected here with faith. There is a sureness about what is to come. And hope is a living, it's alive, provoking within us the reality that the future holds life. The future holds life for those in Jesus Christ. How do you view the future? there are those that think financially about the future, right? And I agree. There's wisdom to think about that, but you know, there's a lot of fear about markets crashing and banks collapsing, and you know, where do we put our funds and our money? And you know, you get thinking about that, and boy, you just get lost in this whirlwind of what am I supposed to do? That's not living hope. You know, we think about the future with our employment, and we work really, really hard to seek to accomplish the next goal and the next step and the next position, the power and authority that comes with that. And yet as we strive within ourselves to do all of this, we can so easily get caught up in me and ourselves, and we're not the source of living hope. We can't produce that within ourselves. Where do I find true living hope for life? We live in a world where kids are dying because they don't have truth put into their lives. I mean, what are parents supposed to tell kids that are struggling in school? If they don't know the Lord, what are they going to tell our kids? Listen, we as the church know the answer. We know where hope is found. In fact, it's a living hope. We have been begotten again unto this living hope. Now look at this. It's by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It is the fact that Jesus rose that unlocks for us a living hope. Keep your finger in 1 Peter. Go back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Apostle Paul dedicates an entire, from our perspective here, a chapter on the importance of the resurrection. And I want you to hear from his words, from the Spirit who inspired Paul, we'll put it that way, right? This is God's word, about the importance of the resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verse 11. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. Now, verse 12, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? And by that resurrection of the dead, speaking of many people, many followers rising from the dead. Verse 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain and your faith also vain. You want to know what the significance of the resurrection is? You just look at it here and you realize that if Christ is not risen, then our preaching, all the things that I proclaim as a preacher, It's empty. It's void of power, of hope, of life. Because the things that Jesus said about eternal life fall flat and are buried with him in the tomb if he's still in the grave. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain and your faith also vain. Verse 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Now it becomes an issue of salvation. You're still in your sin. Verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If all it is just in this life only, this here and now, between my birth and my death, if that's the only time that I have hope in Christ, where that's the only time that this is relevant, because that's all Christ had from his birth to his death. Look at what it says. We are of all men most miserable. You see there that if there is no resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is this limited hope. But because we believe that the Word of God teaches that Jesus Christ did rise again, there's a living hope. as we continue in 1 Peter chapter 1, this living hope is by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And I want to tell you about what you have to hope for in Jesus. Because of the resurrection, because it has unleashed for us a future, a sure and living future. Look at it, verse 4, to an inheritance, incorruptible. An inheritance that's not ever going to fade away. It's undefiled. It's reserved in heaven for you. How do you like that, thinking about it? Just think about it. An inheritance. It's reserved for you. It's reserved where? It's in heaven. It's never going to decay. It's undefiled. It never fades away. It's sure. It's you know, it's like you take your valuables and you put them in the safe deposit box at the bank, right? And then you got the key and it's locked up in there, and maybe it's even in a vault, and you are confident. You are sure you got this. This is safe. But yet deep down in your heart, you know, you could lose the key and they make a mess of that, and then the bank could be blown up. I mean, seriously, it could, right? In our day and age, crazy things could happen. And then where's my inheritance? It's gone. But the beautiful thing through Jesus and his resurrection is there's an inheritance that's never going to fade away, and it's reserved in heaven, and it's reserved for you. Is that true of you? Do you know that? Do you know that you've got an inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ through his resurrection? Christian, hear the word of God. Unbeliever, hear the word of God. Hear it. God is calling you and wants and desires for you to be his child too. He's got plenty of inheritance. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. God's not going to lose you. He's keeping you. He's got power. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness and through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Whom, having not seen, you love. Do you love the Lord Jesus today? Jesus dealt with this with Peter. As we read in John. So whom having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing. Do you believe? You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Yeah, today's Resurrection Day. Yes, today is the day that we celebrate Jesus coming forth from the grave. What is the significance of the resurrection to you today? Has it brought to you a living hope? Or is your life wrapped up in a hope that's limited by your own life, by the only things that you can do and accomplish, by the limits of your job and the limits of your finances? Listen, hear this. God is offering a living hope through his abundant mercy. Hear the call of God. Answer. God is calling you Heavenly Father, as we contemplate and think about the significance of the resurrection, I want to thank you for these two words, living hope. And I realize, Lord, that this is true only because of the power of the resurrection of Jesus. Oh, Lord, help us, work in us your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.